This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Kevin Sweeney covers college basketball and the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated. Does some work on Field of 68. He is somebody that I find myself clashing with quite a bit in our group chat, but iron sharpens iron. He joins us now. Sweeney, what's up, man?
What's going on, my man? How are you?
All is good here in Memphis. You've spent the majority of the week at the NBA Combine. I will start with, I don't know that P.J. Haggerty is a Memphis, local interest anymore, but I will just ask you, what kind of week did P.J. Haggerty have at the Combine?
Yeah, I thought he was very productive in the scrimmages. You know, from a statistical standpoint, he was probably one of the better players. I thought eye test-wise, it was maybe more muddied, especially in terms of an NBA translation, right? Like, what makes him so good and so excellent in a college game is that he can just sort of put his head down and bully to the rim, and he was able to do that some in this setting as well, made a couple tough shots, but I think that the flaws of him as a player also did pop at times. So I think, the decision-making, his ability to be a full-time point guard, which is, I think, something that he wants to prove for the next level, that was really not on display in Chicago. So overall, again, I think probably you'd be happy with how you played if you're PJ. I thought he played to his strengths and was productive, but I don't think he transformed his stock in any way or all of a sudden now is a guy that should feel confident he's getting a guaranteed contract in the NBA next year.
You know, he says he's all in on the draft, and I assume he will get as much information and feedback as he can before he makes a decision. But he has not committed anywhere yet. It does seem like if he wanted to be back at Memphis, he would have already done that. But is it possible, Kevin, with like some other decisions that are like Tahad Pettiford, he may end up staying in the draft as a result of his combine. Is it possible that, P.J. Haggerty would be one of those guys who schools lose a guard that they thought they'd have and there's a market for him that emerges that maybe wasn't there a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've already seen it to an extent. LeBaron Filon announced he was staying in the draft for Alabama, and essentially immediately there was a visit booked for Dez Claude to come up, who's another one of the top guards in the portal. I think there's certainly a possibility that as teams lose guys that they didn't expect to lose or were holding out hope that would come back, that priorities change. I know as of now, there's been a lot of smoke to NC State with him, but yeah, I think there's a world where things get more complicated here down the stretch or even, just past that deadline into early June if PJ's willing to wait that long.
John mentioned him, and you wrote about him, Tahad Pettiford, and the week that he had. And I guess he's only about an inch shorter than P.J. Haggerty, but it feels like he's so much – just a bigger player. He's so explosive, dynamic. The athleticism is there. Just what did you make in terms of – you wrote about him as one of those stock risers. Where's he going to end up going? How high could Tahad Pettiford go when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think he helped himself. I do think he's – still sort of on the fringe between the first and the second round, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if someone gives him some level of assurance that he'll get picked in the first 30 picks, which is what he's looking for to stay in the draft. Yeah. Obviously, he's small, right? And he's right. inconsistent. But, you know, the ceiling is really high. He's fun to watch. When he's great, he's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, his performance Wednesday was elite. And you hear a lot of comparisons to a guy like Rob Dillingham. Rob Dillingham was a top 10 pick last year. So could Pettiford go in the 20s? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like we're in a new sort of, you know, frontier with you know, these decisions, right? Like, whereas, you know, in the years, you know, gone by, it would be like if you're a first-round guy, even if you had a chance at a two-way, you would probably stay in. But now it's like it's almost like flipped. Unless you're a top – if you're a lottery pick, you stay in. But, you know, if you're anything else, you have eligibility, it almost makes more sense to go back. Like, what do you think the realistic – cutoff threshold is now when it comes to these kinds of decisions, whether a guy stays in or goes back to school?
Yeah, look, I think anyone that thinks they're going to be a first-round pick is going to stay in the draft, with very few exceptions. There will be the occasional here and there. But, you know, I think the stability of that and the multiple years of guaranteed money is something that's really hard to pass up on. You know, I think the thing that's changed more than anything is now you have some leverage to go back to the NBA team with, right? Mm. So you're Yaxel Lundeborg from UAB, and you sit up there and you say, hey, I have $3 million to go to Michigan. You can tell NBA teams, hey, the only way I stay in this draft is if you give me a promise that I'm a first-round pick, and you lock me up, and we shut everything down right now, right? You couldn't do that before. You were at the entire mercy of the NBA team. So I think over the next week or two, you will see a ton of that, you know, back and forth between agents and NBA teams for these 5 to 10 guys that are really right on the cut line of whether they should stay in or whether they should go, using that leverage they have from their college deal.
We watched Yaxel Lindeborg get absolutely undressed by Dane Danger pretty much three times this season, and yet here we've seen combine, everything else you read on him, they love his athleticism, apparently shot it well in the shooting drills. Just in terms of him and NBA, whenever that happens, what is he, Kevin?
Yeah, look, he played a lot of small ball five in the scrimmages. He played some of that at UAB. I think he's probably more of a four at the next level, and he has, you know, impressive size for that. He's almost 6'9" without shoes, a big wingspan, great frame. And I think, you know, teams value the upward trajectory that he has been on over the last couple of years, a guy who sort of has come out of nowhere from junior college to being on the radar. But I do think, again, there is something to his prospect status that is that he is beaten up on bad competition for most of his career. You know, Team Memphis and his struggles against them is a good illustration of that. But also, again, you know, you don't want to criticize anyone for not transferring up. But, you know, we would know a lot more about Yaxel Lundeborg as a prospect had he transferred to the SEC last year and played versus, you know, running it back at UAB and putting up incredible numbers. So I think there's a lot of unknowns, but there's a lot of intrigue as well. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's a guy that someone wants to roll the dice on in the first round.
We're talking to Kevin Sweeney, covers college basketball in the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated. All right, one more on the combine, then I want to get into college basketball. Of the top flight prospects that you saw, not named Cooper Flagg, was there anybody like in that top 10 who you saw and you're like, oh yeah, like they're about to go have an elite NBA career?
You know, I try not to overreact too much, but you know, I do think you start to grow a little bit more on Trey Johnson the more you see him. He's a super impressive 1-on-0 guy. If that's a sell or not, I don't know. But I mean, he has the size at the shooting guard spot. He's a big time shooter. You know, I think he's a guy, especially with the way that the draft board shook out, with San Antonio getting the second pick and Philly going number three, he could sneak into that top 3 to 5 conversation after being probably more 5 to 10 throughout the college season.
Yeah, it's hard not to be infatuated with his game because he scores effortlessly. You know, I'd like to see it translate to winning, but I guess that's kind of the next step for him. All right. Look, this Memphis roster I don't think is complete, but you can kind of see, you know, or maybe not see, I don't know, what it's trying to be. We'll see on the decision on Dane Danger. Based on who is 100% on the roster, though, Kevin, what do you make of this roster that Penny Hardaway has put together?
Yeah, look, I don't think the talent is where it has been necessarily, but I also think that I think if you have asked me this time last year, I would have said the talent hasn't been what prior Memphis teams was. And I think what made last year's group work for much of the year is that they had clearly defined roles. And I think the hope would be you're doing something similarly here, building around Doug McDaniel. He's obviously a very different player than what PJ Haggerty was, but he's a very dynamic player as well. And I've watched enough Doug McDaniel over the years to know what it looks like when he's really good. I think they have size and athleticism on the wings, which is helpful. I think the big hole at the moment is that front court spot. I'm an Aaron Bradshaw skeptic still. Nope. Did not think he was particularly good at Ohio State. Think he has a lot to prove. I think Memphis is a good place for him to try to go prove it. But I think you'd feel a whole lot better about yourself if you had Dane Danger up in that front court as well.
You mentioned watching a lot of Doug McDaniel. What do you need around him for it to equate to winning? I mean, and kind of knowing what's on the roster, and we'll see. I mean, if they can get this waiver for Dane, that's going to be huge. I mean, because I'm with you. They are so thin right now in the front court. I don't trust Bradshaw either. So what's got to be around Doug to finally make him a winner?
Well, I think stability is important with him, right? I think he's been in situations where, either he couldn't be held accountable because you didn't have enough talent, or you had guys that kind of fed into his worst instincts on the floor. Like he's going to be wild at times. That's the reality with him. But he's super dynamic. And I think the other thing you need, just kind of X and O wise, is you need positional size and physicality, because defensively he's not great on the ball, right? So the fact that you have a Zach Davis, that you have, Quante Berry who can really guard, like I think those pieces make some sense to sort of piece together your wing rotation next to Doug. But yeah, I think they've built it. There's some logic to the build so far. I think that, again, the top tier talent probably lacking a little bit, but Dane Danger's probably knocking on the door of All-American status next year if he's back in college. So that would obviously change the ceiling quite a bit.
And I think that's kind of what they're banking on right now, just based on the rest of it. And we did see one decision come in at least this week with the College of Charleston big, who had his extra year and his plea for a preliminary injunction denied. Although, is your understanding that, like, that's not going to necessarily be uniform across the country? Like, is that something that's going to be handled case by case by these courts, depending on jurisdiction?
Yeah, it's case by case. It's also, again, I think the complaints to the courts, if it gets that far for Dane, would be different than the Berzovich complaint at Charleston. Again, it's really a complicated situation, and I don't know that I have a great feel one way or another. I think the biggest thing that's probably holding back Dane from a waiver right now is the fact that he transferred midseason to Illinois and essentially wiped away that year instead of what could have potentially been like a medical redshirt. But the distinctions between a lot of these hardships that have been discussed over the last several seasons that have been either approved or denied have not always been super clear to me. I don't think we can assume that it'll be a super clear or even process with Dane as well.
John and I were discussing this. If Florida gets Boogie Fland, we figure it's the SEC favorite. What do you think of them as repeat national champions with that team? What they've got back? I think, John, we went through it. It looks like three starters. What would you think of Florida with Boogie Fland?
Yeah, you're waiting on Fland. You're also waiting on Alex Condon, who I do expect will come back to school, but is another guy in that sort of 20 to 40 range in the draft and could easily decide to stay in. I think the expectation from what I've been told is he'll be back, but we'll see. I think Fland would obviously change their ceiling. He's super dynamic. It would be a different looking team. I think one of the things that made Florida so good last year is they had those big physical wings and Elijah Martin and Will Richard, who brought some defensive energy. They'll look different. It's kind of two Chucker guards, maybe Chucker in a more positive sense in Boogie and Xavier Lee from Princeton, two guys that just want to go get their own. And then playing really big next to them with Condon, Chinyelu, and then Thomas Houck, who was a huge piece. They'd be playing really big up front and really small in the backcourt. I'd be curious how that all shakes out, but talent-wise, certainly would be right near the top of the SEC and top of the country.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, what do we think? Like, they'd be top three if all those things happen, right? I mean, I could easily make a case for number one. I know Purdue's got the two All-Americans, but, like, Florida just won the championship.
I would probably be a little lower. I'd probably be in, like, that 5 to 7 range. Okay. But I also think that teams that just won the championship tend to get that extra bump. That's the reality of the world we live in.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, man, great stuff as
Thank
always.
You, brother.
Thanks for doing this, man. Good to catch up.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy the weekend.
Yes, sir. He is Kevin Sweeney, covers college basketball and the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated out there in Chicago. Yeah, Trey Johnson is, we talk about the guys that you know, wowed him on that top group. You know, I mean, just natural born scorer. It's just like, you know, Texas wasn't great last year. I don't think Texas made the tournament, did they?
Did they
make it?
Were they not?
The first four?
Were they not?
It was the first four. Yeah. That's what it was.
The first four playing.
Counts.
Playing.
They lost to Xavier.
But we talked about it. They didn't run anything for him.
That's true.
He was like trying to pull it out of the mud.
That's true. Yeah.
And Rodney was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The sets weren't even run for him. Half the time.
And that Texas team was not very good. I mean, he didn't have much talent. It was like
they made a little late season push. They shouldn't have made the tournament, probably.
They were banged up a lot of the year. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Terry had a good push at the end. And
I like him. I do. I like him a lot.
The player.
Yeah, yes, Trey Johnson. Yeah. But, you know, I have talked to other people who are, you know, who have the same questions about, like, all right, is he a guy you can win with, or is he just going to be like a guy that averages 19 a game?
And does he make anybody around you?
Exactly.
Can he possibly make anybody around you? But it just
That's
seems like
exactly
he's
right.
just gotten his.
That is exactly right.
Majority of his career. But it's effortless.
Yeah.
The way you put it is accurate.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks to Kevin Sweeney for joining us here on the show. Got that first game that EYBL is going to tip off here in about 20 minutes, right?
20 minutes, man. About pop off over there. Going to be a weekend full of it. Team Thad, I think 6:30 tonight. Okay. They've got Indy. But yeah, it should pop off and the place is going to be going nuts. I imagine again, we just saw the Ja 2s have come out, not just the Kool-Aid version that sold out this morning on all the apps in Foot Locker, but the EYBL version. And we suspected as much and heard it pretty much. Said he thought same thing. KD debuted his EYBL version of his. I think he's up to 18.
Yeah.
The KD 18.
Yeah.
EYBL version. Jaws is out now. I've retweeted it.
Yeah.
This is separate from the Kool-Aid again that was sold to all.
Yeah.
This EYBL version is going to be much more exclusive. It looks like. I'm not even sure we can buy this.
Yeah.
I looked on the apps. I didn't see it yet.
I'd assume it.
But it'll be out there and on display.
Yeah.
And my guess is Ja will, too, at some point. I'm surprised that he hadn't been spotted already. I'm wondering if it's tomorrow, maybe it's later on tonight. But Ja's going to have to be through there at some point with all those EYBL shoes if they're not there already.
Yeah, there's a standalone game. It's at 2 o'clock. It's Arizona Unity versus Vegas Elite. And I don't know if there's, like, necessarily a guy that I would say, oh, you got to
Who's our number one prospect?
That's Tyron
changed
Stokes.
Changed his mind playing for.
He's Oakland Soldiers.
Okay.
So he will not play until 8.
Tonight is going to be crazy.
Yeah. Like, I went through and kind of just picked out, you know, some of the highest-ranked guys. Like, Team Thad's got a guy, a sophomore, LJ Smith. They just announced it. He's number 24 in the country, and he's playing up. And he's got an offer from Memphis. So definitely go support Team Thad. They play at 6:30. And then you got Jackson Richardson, who is the son of Jason Richardson, brother of Jace. He plays for the Florida Rebels. And
he's fun to watch.
They're at 5.
That man's hops, as you would imagine.
Yep.
Coming from I think his dad won the dunk contest.
Yeah, he did.
He already won one.
Yep. Yeah. Team Why Not has Christian Collins, who's number 3 in the country. He's got offers from Duke, Houston, Kentucky, Bama. I mean, you guys know the deal. Team Takeover's got a guy, I think, Jordan Smith, who's number 4 in the country. Like, I mean, like, this is legitimately the best of the future is in Memphis, all under one roof, you know, today and through Sunday. So if you got a chance and you got a little itch for some, you know.
Yeah, and Nike's not price gouging. We know that, too.
That's right.
JJ told us.
We were there at Peach Jam one year, wasn't it? It was Randall, Julius Randall.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember who was the other guy?
It was full.
Yeah, who was that?
That he was going against that year.
Was it Okafor? Jahlil Okafor?
It must have been.
Had to be.
Because it was a matchup of bigs.
Yes.
And I think it was. Okafor seems like same time.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
That's a good guess. If it's not, that's just still a good, that's a good educated guess. Okafor, it was his year, I think.
Julius Randle would have been what, class of 2013? He had to be 2013, right? It was 2013. Was it Jabari Parker, maybe? It was, because it wasn't Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins. Was it him? Was it Julius Randle and Andrew Wiggins who played there? I can't remember, but I know Julius Randle was one of them.
That felt like the most packed game we saw.
Yeah, it was like you couldn't even see.
It was Wiggins-Randle, it looks like.
That's who it was?
Well, that was July 20, 2012.
Okay.
So it was one of those Peach Jam games.
Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah, I think this is the one.
That had to be it.
Because it's at the front of everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's who I mean, we were there talking to, you know what I'm saying, friggin' Kelly Oubre.
Josh had me on a dead man mission with Kelly Oubre.
And then Rhonda Jefferson. He was there. Yep. We were like, hey, what do you think about Memphis?
I don't think Oubre ever even had Memphis on the list. Maybe a top 10, but certainly nothing final.
Right, because he did. He looked at you like you were just like.
Like, man, why are you asking me about Josh Pastner?
Keith Frazier. Remember Keith Frazier?
Yeah.
He went to SMU?
Mm-hmm. Had the grades issue.
I think Memphis really thought they could get him, but they could not. Austin Nichols.
Fun times at the Peach
Jam. But he wasn't a Nike guy, I don't believe.
No, he wasn't. And that's part of the reason why he got blackballed, wasn't it?
Yep.
Mason McDonald.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the year with Oubre was 14, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was all in that.
Yeah, that was Randall was 13, and then 14 would have been the year, I want to say, because it was Clip Alexander, it was Oubre. We went back-to-back years, and the next year was when we talked to Kelly Oubre, and that was a class that Memphis just could not get any traction in.
No.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what changed, but like.
Well, the word was starting to get out.
That, too. That's right, because they had underachieved. They didn't go to the Sweet 16 again.
I don't think at that point he had beat anybody. Well, maybe that year.
Yeah.
In top 25.
They missed out on Chioza. They were late on Chioza, who ended up 36th in the country.
Yep. Still blame that one on my man Damon Stoudemire, but a little else did he do wrong.
Man, that was a fumble of the bag right there.
Well, he didn't think Chioza could defend.
Yeah. Number 61 in the country in 2014, Dylan Brooks. I'm just looking through this list.
Wasn't it Pookie Powell instead
Pookie
of
Powell,
Chioza?
Yes.
That was the other part of that?
Yes.
Okay. That's what made
it. Yeah, he was.
Is that because it was that around the same time?
Was Pookie 2013? Or 20, I mean, I can't remember.
Dude, you asking me years, like
I know it's
like
crazy. Why would we know that
for an old man?
Yeah, you're right though. It was a decision.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they liked Pookie better.
Yeah,
I thought he was the other guard they had that they liked.
Now Pookie enrolled in as a freshman in 2013 in that class, but they thought he would be the guy
and wouldn't need Joseph.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was
wrong move.
That was a miscalculation of epic proportions.
Wrong move.
They missed on LeBron, you know. They didn't, you know, they didn't get him. So that hurt. Remember old Larry Austin? See, these names coming back to me now, man. I was a recruiting reporter back then, so I was calling all these kids and I was asking about Memphis and
EYBL is as big as it got for you back then.
I want to say D'Angelo Russell's in here somewhere. They tried to get D'Angelo Russell and they couldn't get him. I mean, it was just, it was a mess. It was a mess that year. And then they got the Lawsons the year after that. So it was kind of like, all right, we're stopping the bleeding here a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this was definitely the first year, the first class. We were at the Peach Jam where you feel like, oh man, they're losing some juice.
Yeah, it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
This Memphis
yeah.
brand is not having carrying the same weight.
And it's crazy that you can feel that,
did.
You know, just as a reporter.
No, it was changing.
You know, because you're coming off that 2013 class that was top five in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You had all the momentum in the world. You're getting Karan Iverson. You're getting, Dominic Woodson late. You're getting, I mean, it feels like everything is breaking your way. And then you go to the Peach Jam, see all the kids, and they're just like, I like their offense. I kind of like, but it's like, you know, right. That's
their
fake.
Stuff calls me. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly. And that was the beginning of the end in many ways. But hey, all's well that ends well, man. Trayvon Blewett says hello.
Thanks a lot, Jason Gardner.
All right, we'll come back, wrap this thing up here on a Friday. Jason and John, how do you turn up on ESPN?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.